This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Monday, July the 15th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SME News Today.
Christopher P. Austin, MD, is Director of the National Center for Advancing Translational Studies. He works at the U.S. NIH, and he is warning us that scientists can barely keep up with new rare diseases. Up to 250 are discovered every year. This is despite the American health system failing the millions that have already been diagnosed. The public health implications of rare diseases are poorly understood, but profoundly important. He said that currently there are 7,000 rare diseases, and 80% of them are genetic. Overall, they have the same prevalence as type 2 diabetes, which is about 8% of the population. However, you could bet the average person wouldn't know that. Austin pointed out that the definition of rare does vary by country. In the US, the FDA classifies a disease as rare if it affects fewer than 200,000 people. In Japan, it's fewer than 50,000. And in Europe, it's rare if it affects no more than 1 in 2,000 people. Since there is a difficulty in coding these diseases, the costs are largely invisible to those who run the healthcare systems. With diabetes and Alzheimer's, you can come up with a number, a prevalence, and a cost. This isn't easily done with the vast majority of rare diseases. Austin said that it's a real problem if 8% of the population has healthcare costs that are essentially invisible. This community is not going to get the attention it deserves. Even without taking into account newly discovered diseases, at the current rate, it will be 2,000 years before every rare disease has an approved treatment. And that's not acceptable. So he said that means we have to do things differently, and radically differently. At his organization, they are aiming to transform their own thinking and research. This means shifting from a one disease at a time approach to a many diseases at a time approach. And they have three goals for the next decade. First, diagnose patients within 1 year, and if a patient is undiagnosable, entering them into a globally coordinated diagnostic research pipeline. Second, approving 1,000 new therapies for rare diseases, and most of them would be focused on disorders that currently don't have any approved options. And thirdly, developing methodologies to assess the impact of diagnosis and therapies. At the current rate, sometimes the diagnostic journey takes 15 or 20 years. That results in a huge amount of healthcare expenditures. And during that time, the patient's quality of life goes downhill. And even when there is a treatment available, the patient's status has gone down so much, they're often ineligible. According to a March 2019 report, between 2008 and 2019, out of 20 top corporate sponsors of clinical trials, only 4 focused at least half their trials on rare diseases. The CEO of Centogene even thinks that the phrase rare diseases is misleading. He said it could make medical colleagues think that they'll never get a patient with such a disease. So maybe instead, we should call them frequently missed diseases. It's definitely an obligation and a challenge for scientists. Because in contrast to 2 or 3 decades ago, we now have all the technological solutions in our hands. Centogene calls itself the world's largest diagnostic portfolio for 3,500 diseases. They said that 90% of rare disease patients are misdiagnosed for decades because it seems all of these diseases are underestimated. Another big problem is that clinical trials usually have an American or European perspective. About 95% of Centogene's database still refers to information coming from the US and Europe, and less than 5% are non-Caucasian. So we have to accept that the genetic makeup in different populations is completely different.
Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Forum's moderator, Deanne Runge.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploreGeneTherapy.com.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Deanne Runge, SMA News Today moderator and vlogger. Recently, I was shopping with my mom. I take every opportunity I can get out of the house and go shopping. So yes, I still shop with my mother. We were browsing through Joann's, a craft and hobby store, and I saw a beach-themed shadow box that matched my decor. Since I can't get to the tropics, I bring the tropics to me. Plus, it was 75% off. What drew me to it was the phrase inscribed on it, in my teal color no less, which said, "Go with the flow." Sometimes this is a difficult concept for me, being the type A personality that I am, but when those situations arise that are out of my control, I remind myself, go with the flow. Plus, it's a lot easier than fighting the current. I'm a planner. My days are usually scheduled out as to when my PCAs get me up, what I'm going to wear, my appointments, etc., etc. My local transportation requires scheduling a day in advance, so for the most part, spur-of-the-moment trips are out. When something does come up, like getting invited to a movie or something, needless to say, it can throw me for a loop. That's not to say I'm not game, though. So when the current shifts, I do my best to shift with it. It might take some finagling to find a ride and rearrange my schedule, but it's worth the hassle to have a little fun. If it doesn't work out, I'm sure to let the person know, maybe next time, an advance notice would be great. Going with the flow doesn't mean I don't need to be prepared. Last week, my daytime PCA called out sick 3 days in a row. Although it's frustrating, I have a plan in place for situations like this. Depending on what day it is, I know which backup PCAs I can most likely rely on. I might have to change up what I wanted to accomplish for the day, as each PCA has different strengths, but as long as my basic needs are met, I can deal with it. Although I've improved at riding the current, I still do what I can to have a smooth ride. For my last 2 Spinraza injections, I've had transportation glitches. Of course, I had no choice but to go with it, and in the end, everything worked out. Next time, however, I'm trying a different transportation company. Fingers crossed it'll be smooth sailing. Next time I feel frustrated about how things are going, I can look up at that shadow box and just think, okay, go with the flow. The current will take me exactly where I'm supposed to be.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multichannel Content Director.